You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a freaking stacked show on the program today, man. I've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got three guests to get to on the show, so let's get right down to business. Dave Malinsky will bat the leadoff. Now a member of the SBR family. Sportsbookreview.com, his point-blank column is posted daily at Sportsbook Review from here on out. He joins us every Tuesday, of course. The professor, Dave Malinsky, joins us straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike Cardano steps up and in after a couple of week hiatus. Mike has a lot on his mind. He's got a baseball pick for us. Of course, me and Mike have an O.J. Simpson bet as O.J.'s up for parole. This Thursday, man, let the circus begin. Will O.J. Simpson be released? We'll break that down a little bit, but we'll talk baseball, a little New York Jet football with Mike Cardano. Our team-by-team NFL previews will be moved to Morenci Unfiltered this evening. We're getting him in. We're getting him in, but every once in a while, man, we're jam-packed on the program. And we're jam-packed on the program today because we're joined by El Presidente. El Presidente, El Perfecto. That's all you need to say. How many baseball games have they played over the years? I don't know, a couple of million probably? Like, seriously, they've been playing baseball since the late 1800s. You add up all the baseball games, how many perfect games have there been? I think we're at 20 right now. Dennis Martinez, of course, accomplished that incredible rare feat at Chavez Ravine Dodger Stadium, July the 28th, 1991. And it's interesting, we had Dave Van Horn, who actually called the game on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now we have Dennis Martinez. But Dennis Martinez is so much more than just that perfect game. You know, the guy's had an illustrious career, and that's something that probably a lot of you are unaware of. But Dennis Martinez is actually the winningest Latin American-born pitcher ever. Think about that, ever. And I don't even know if anyone's going to catch him, man. Bartolo Colon was like 10 wins behind, yet, you know, is Bartolo Colon going to win another 10 games in the bigs? I'm not so sure that he will. So we're going to talk baseball with Dennis Martinez. We got Mike Cardano. We got Dave Malinsky. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're also going to talk about Lonzo Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers as it's time for me to take some lumps here. And I'm one of the rare jackasses in the media that will actually admit when I was wrong, yet you guys are bigger jackasses out there and don't really listen to me anyways. So I don't even know why I'm admitting that I'm wrong, but I was wrong. I took a lot of pot shots at Lonzo Ball. I took a lot of shots at Lonzo Ball coming in to the NBA Summer League. I didn't think that the Lakers should have drafted him second overall. I think, you know, they fell for the ESPN Johnny Manziel type of hype. And with all that being stated, it is just the Summer League. But if we're going to take shots and we're going to ridicule when he goes like two for 15 from three-point land in his first game, then we have to give accolades when it's all said and done. And more so to the L.A. Lakers. See, L.A. Lakers haven't had a lot go right for them over the last couple of years. And they seem to be very excited. And, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know, you guys are really excited. You got Lonzo Ball, but they do have a lot of money to spend at the end of the year as well. So I get the excitement. But you've got to tip your cap. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's just the NBA Summer League. Whatever. It's the NBA Summer League. They won it, all right? They won. The LA Lakers won the damn Summer League, and Lonzo Ball won the most valuable player of the Vegas Summer League tournament. Now, did he deserve to win the MVP? I probably wouldn't have given it to him. When you consider, you know, it's the Summer League, and the kid missed the championship game. How many games did he play in? What, three? He played three games, four games, and he missed two? You know, so can we give him the MVP? But it shows the power of the hype. It shows the power of the hype, man. And we live in a brash era right now. Look, Donald Trump is the president. Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are going to be making like $400 million, even though everybody knows it's a crap-ass fight. All right? Look at LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball is a jackass, a bench stooge that averaged 2.2 points per game in his collegiate career. And he gets as much press as Steph Curry, if not more, than Curry and Kevin Durant combined, actually. You go to any website, you go to NBA, it's going to be LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball trolling Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not Shaquille O'Neal's biggest fan, but I wouldn't mind seeing Shaquille O'Neal like punch LeVar Ball in the face. And that's the thing. I've never really had a problem with Lonzo Ball. He's a good kid. I think he should tell his father to shut up a little bit. You know, he's a good basketball player. I just thought that the overall circus around him was a little bit too much. Except, you know what? The circus is just coming to town, man. Because ESPN's going to crank this son of a bitch up. And listen, we've always known. This is what it is. You know, ESPN is a little bit down right now. And they're looking for something, man. They're looking for somebody. And the fact of the matter is, Lonzo Ball, LeVar Ball, are those somebodies. Before it was Johnny Manziel. They'd shoot him up and they'd spit him out. It used to be Derek Jeter. At times it's Tom Brady, the Yankees and the Red Sox. ESPN have like a one-frame mind and they're clearly locked in right now on Lonzo Ball. And that resulted in him winning the most valuable player because of all the media hype. I don't even know if Lonzo Ball was the best player on his damn team, let alone the entire summer league. Because, see, you know what? Kyle Kuzma really drilled it. This kid owned it, man. Consistent, put up big points, on a nightly basis, laid down 31 against Tatum and the Boston Celtics. You know, Kuzma's the real deal, man. He won 27th overall. He could have been the MVP, but that's not quite as sexy. That's not the story. Kuzma's not going to get the same hits as Lonzo Ball is. You know what? Lonzo Ball's overhyped, but how many kids can get $250 a pop in a sold-out NBA Summer League game? And now he's shopping the shoe services. You know, Lonzo Ball's game is good. It's just his father's a jackass that's extremely annoying. But with all the accolades that we just gave, there's a big difference between lighting up a bunch of stiff and a bunch of kids in the NBA Summer League as it is lighting up the Western Conference. The last time I checked, pretty damn good. But, you know, we are in the era of brashness, man. From Trump to Connor and Floyd to this Ball stuff. We might complain about it, but we can't look away. Game Time Decisions continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I got to talk really fast today so we can get to as many of the topics as I want on the program. Like I stated, we've got a great show lined up. Mike Cardano is going to join us. Mike hasn't been on in a couple of weeks, so Mike's got a ton of stuff that he wants to get to. Dave Malinsky bats leadoff on the program, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of pressure on Malinsky and Cardano today. Because it's not often that we have a man that pitched a perfect game on the program. So we're talking about perfection. Specifically Cardano, I'm talking about you, Mike, because you're coming on after the great El Presidente, Dennis Martinez. That's like coming on after Bob Dylan or something. That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. I know Dave can handle the pressure batting leadoff, setting the table for Dennis Martinez. And Dave, you often state, hey, you want to stay on hold. And listen to the rest of the program. Today's a good one, man. I'm fired up for El Presidente.
As well you should be. You know, because here's the thing. You talk about the no-no, you know, and the highlight or the peak of his career. What we liked about him, though, was the consistency, you know, that he was able to deliver for so long. We try to do the same thing. We're just not as good at it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's funny, Dave, you bring that up, actually. You know, everybody remembers the perfect game, okay, and he's sort of defined by that. It's not a bad thing to be defined by, but he also happens to be the winningest Hispanic Latin American-born pitcher of all time.
That's, like with 245 wins. Came from. Yeah, he was so very, very dependable right now.
Yeah, and also one of the rare guys to win 100 games, 100-plus games in both the American and the National Leagues. So I look forward to talking baseball with El Presidente. We'll talk baseball with the Professor Dave in a second. But the NBA Summer League, the Vegas Summer League, comes to a close. The hype machine was in full motion, Dave, over the last couple of weeks. And say what you will, and I did an intro about this at the start of the program. You look, you know, Donald Trump, Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball. You know, I think if we have a theme of 2017, it's pretty much just brashness and people saying they hate it but throwing their money at it.
Well, but that's why Vegas was the ideal venue for this, and it was stunning, the crowds that were here, because these were major shows. This was like Electric Daisy Carnival weekend, you know, all over again. But now here's what's going to happen. Is this going to cause some oddities in the betting markets? And I think some of this happened directly from people that were here for this tournament. I live right across the street from the Westgate. Westgate has had 59 bets so far that the Lakers will make the playoffs. Zero bets that they won't. They put up a two-way prop. So that means that people are taking what they saw here and trying to write too much into it, because first, the Lakers aren't going to be very good. That is a young team. It's going to be terrible defensively. But second, for them to make the playoffs, they have to leap over a lot of teams. Who are they going to leap over? Because a lot of other teams in the West are also getting better.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, you look at the hype around Lonzo Ball. He wins the MVP of the Summer League. Now, I don't know if he deserved the MVP. He played well in the games that he played. And he didn't even play in the championship game. You could argue that Kyle Kuzma was actually the best Lakers player throughout the Summer League tournament. But it goes to show, once again, Dave, I call it the Johnny Manziel. It's like the Johnny Manziel situation in which, you know, the ESPNs of the world, the mainstream media, the internet, et cetera, is so focused on this one guy that there's going to be so much reaction. We talked about the point spread difference last week when you were on, Dave, when they were playing Sacramento. There was a 7-point swing with him out of the lineup. He wins the MVP right now. I think it takes a lot of pressure off these other rookies next year, because no one's going to be paying attention to them, Dave. The media is going to be all focused in on Lonzo Ball's successes and his failures. But conversely, seems like Lonzo Ball, you know, can do no wrong, and the media is going to sort of push him towards the NBA Rookie of the Year award unless somebody else steps up.
Yeah, and what a danger zone, though, because now think about this. Here's a one-and-done kid that's going to play point guard in the NBA. And, oh, who is going to be in his conference? Well, he'll play Stephen Curry. He'll go up against, you know, Chris Paul. He'll go up against Russell Westbrook. You know, just little things like that. This kid is going to have some nights where he's going to get destroyed because of the competition he's up against. That's why setting the bar too high. Because, again, Ball is a terrific passer. Good team player. Has great floor vision. But defensively, he doesn't have a clue yet. You cannot learn defense in 1 year of college basketball. So when you look at the guys he's going to be up against day in and day out in that Western Conference, boy, this is going to be a tough rookie year for him.
It will be. And we talked about playing the player props of the opposing point guards and for fantasy purposes as well. And one thing about the NBA Summer League as well, Dave, especially the Vegas one, it's not exactly known for its defense, right?
this was actually built for him to look good.
Exactly.
And if anything, when they saw the turnstiles here, it's almost like there's an even added emphasis. Look, if we've got people here watching, let's put on a show for them. Let's turn this into something. So, yeah, that made it even more so the case.
All right, let's talk some baseball, Dave. The Milwaukee Brewers. Interesting. The Brewers were plus 205. I talked a lot about this last week. The Brewers were plus 205 at the All-Star break to win the division. The Chicago Cubs were minus 200. And, you know, it just wasn't enough value for me on the Milwaukee Brewers to pull the trigger. Yet here we are. We're already, it's only Tuesday right now, and it's already 3.5 games, Dave. So, you know, are the Chicago Cubs, like, you know, the Brewers have to, you know, they have to be looking over their backs right now. They're on the road against Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's like a lot of teams in the league right now, Dave. They're not fully out of it yet. And the trade deadline is rapidly approaching. I can guarantee you that there's a lot of baseball general managers that are secretly wishing that their teams would tank and suck over the next 2 weeks so they could actually go to their fans and say, look, we got to, you know, we're going to unload people. Yet, you know, this trade deadline might be a pretty thin one because there's so many general managers that are still in this, and it's hard to go to the fan base and say we gave up when we're only 4.5 out of a wild card or whatnot. Big series, are the Brewers starting to feel the pressure?
I think they are, because I think they'll feel it more than most teams because they weren't built to win this year. They weren't put together with the idea that, oh, we're going to go and win this division. So for as good as it's been so far, I mean, would it be a shock to anybody if Milwaukee still finished fourth in that division? The Cardinals and Pirates are as good or maybe better than the Brewers. Pirates get Sterling Marte back. They've got some injured guys that are healthy now. They finally made the decision on a closer that they should have made, you know, weeks ago. So they're capable. You know what St. Louis is capable of. And again, the Cubs could go on such a roll because at the All-Star break, when you looked up and down that Cubs lineup, you could make a case that outside of perhaps Hayward, everybody else had underperformed offensively. So what happens when a whole team underperforms? They can all come back and get their pendulums turning at the same time. So I could see the second half being real ugly for Milwaukee. Also keeping in mind, third toughest schedule in the majors from here on out.
And, of course, Dave now writes over at sportsbookreview.com. The point-blank column can be seen daily over at SBR, sportsbookreview.com, SBR Picks. And Dave's got a new Twitter handle as well. And coincidentally, Dave, you write about this Milwaukee situation tonight against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we put Junior Guerra into perspective because Guerra shocked a lot of people last year. A 31-year-old journeyman, had never been a major league starter, comes out and performs like an all-star. This season, the bottom has fallen out of Guerra. And one of the cases we're making, what he was so successful with last year, a split-finger fastball, and you don't see too many guys throwing that anymore. Ball that just comes in and drops off the table, much like a sinker. Well, guess what? Second time around, National League hitter says, oh, we understand this pitch now. We're not going to swing at it. And so it's falling out of the strike zone. So when you look at Guerra's walk percentage, way, way up. When you look at his ground ball percentage, it's way, way down. Hitters are laying off his splitter. And without that, he's a pretty mediocre pitcher. So I think Guerra might be one of these guys that sets up as a play against. The more hitters know to lay off that split-finger fastball, the better chance they're going to have to be successful against him.
Dave, I want to talk a little bit about the Arizona Diamondbacks. They've done a great job of avoiding prolonged losing streaks, but they're in the midst of one right now. 1-8 in their last 9 games. Stumbled going into the break, kind of stumbling coming out of it. Swept by the Braves. They're in Cincinnati tonight, and you'll have to pardon me on this one, Dave, for finding this to be so amusing. But I asked people on Twitter this morning, I said, look at the pitching matchup here. Do you notice anything interesting about the names? And we've got Ray versus Romano. It's Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond. Pitching matchup tonight, Dave. I think this is one of the better ones. We've had some good ones over the years. Some good puns, so to speak, with the pitchers. I know that the Dickey and the Wang matchup is pretty much the all-time classic. But I think this Ray Romano one's pretty damn close.
Does that work in 2017, though, or is that about a decade too late?
Yeah, you know what? The older people picked it up. It took people a little while online, and I noticed it was older people. I said, what do you notice about this matchup tonight? And people said, everyone's going to love it. And it took people a little while, but they got it.
It's nice to be able to connect those dots up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A little bit of symmetry in a long, long season, Dave. So so speaking of which, is Ray their guy? Is this, you know, what's the deal with the D-backs? Can they win this baseball game tonight?
You know, they can, because I like Robbie Ray a lot. And Ray was frustrating his first couple of years with the D-backs because he's one of those guys that, you know, we use the phrase, he could throw the ball through a car wash without it getting wet. His stuff was just so good. Well, now this year, he shaved 2 runs per game off his earned run average. Already has as many wins at the All-Star break as he had all of last year. But he's done it by throwing less hard. His average fastball is about 1 mile per hour down from last year. What's happened is, second season and working with Mike Butcher, his curveball is being trusted. Last year, he threw his curve 5.5% of all pitches. This year, it's up to 21.7. It's Ray becoming a pitcher instead of a thrower. He always had the stuff. Now it's just a matter of developing, because you got to have that secondary pitch in the majors. He's got it now. So I think Robbie Ray's going to be legit.
Yeah, I like the D-backs tonight, minus 145. So, Dave, the Dodgers, it seems like Kershaw seems to pitch every Tuesday when you join us, because here we are again. We talked about the insane numbers with Clayton, yet minus 330 right now on the road. I got to tell you, this is amongst the highest road price I've ever seen, Dave, and I've been around quite a while, actually. I can't really recall anything like this, and if you're looking to play the run line, he's minus 170 on the run line, minus 1.5, minus 170.
See, I have to be quiet when I talk about Clayton Kershaw here, because I don't want bookmakers to come and throw bricks through my window.
Yeah, well, it's 46-9 now, Dave.
Guys in Vegas just hate Clayton. It's, 13 straight wins. Yeah, last year's 34-6, 46-9. Doesn't matter what prices they put out there, people lay it. And, of course, what really makes it tough in Las Vegas is the little guys come in and they wheel their parlays. So it's not like you've got people coming in betting $100 to win 30 on Kershaw. The smaller bettors won't do that. But you get all these parlays wheeled to Kershaw, and that's a tough thing for the shops to work around. And it's the Dodgers also. I mean, Dodgers 29-4. The last 33 games, so many of those games blowouts, they're the public team here anyway. So when the public team happens to be the best team, it's tough for the shops here. Clayton Kershaw has really, really hurt the city's bankroll.
You know, Dave, one thing you can say, are the Dodgers peaking too early right now because they're not going to be able to keep this pace up all the way through? Yet they're a pretty hungry team, actually. I think they are hungry for success, this team. You talk about teams being built to win. This team's been knocking on the door for a while. They've underachieved. Don Mattingly is a good baseball man, good manager, but clearly wasn't the right fit for this clubhouse and that dugout. And obviously the youth has helped as well. But with that being stated, I don't think they peaked too early. Except teams with the best record don't always win, and they rarely do win, actually, Dave. The Cubs were like the first team in like 50, in a long time to win with the best record out of the National League. It's kind of a danger, isn't it, that you run away with things too early?
There's a yes and a no, though, because it's allowing Dave Roberts to do some things that he wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And Kershaw pitched the last day before the All-Star break. Most times when you throw your ace there, that means he's also the first guy you pitch coming back out of the break, so you get back-to-back from your ace. Now, they gave him the weekend off in Miami. So now Kershaw's had a nice little bit of downtime. There's not going to be pressure on him to burn innings the rest of the year. Same thing with Alex Wood. And keep in mind, they've got guys who will be getting healthy. You know, Kazmir is going to be coming back. And will be healthy again. They've got a lot of things they can work on. A
lot of depth, Dave, you're right. Even in the outfield, they can move people around, they can rest guys, they can keep people fresh, but also rest them.
Yeah, it's a good layout for Dave Roberts, so I think the Dodgers will drift pretty fresh into the playoffs this year. Meanwhile, the other teams are going to have to keep working to the very end.
All right, Dave, we've got a couple of minutes left here. I said a couple of minutes ago that, there's no doubt some general managers that would like to unload some salary, but they're not going to be able to do it if they're still in contention, even if it's a, fake in contention type of deal. And I sincerely believe Mark Shapiro, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, is just itching. I always get the feeling that this guy's happy when they go on a slide so he can... he can unload salary. I see there's a lot of Donaldson rumors. I don't buy into that. There'll be a riot in Toronto if they trade Josh Donaldson in 2 weeks, even with the Jays being in the standings the way that they are right now. But the last 2 years, Dave, it's been 2 years, the last two summers, right around this time of the year, you said keep your eye on the Jays. They're going to go on a little bit of a run here. They haven't done it yet. They win last night, but Stroman was on the hill. Hap is on the hill tonight. He always seems to screw me, Hap. He was bad in his last start before the break, but before that, he was pretty consistent four or five times in a row. What do you make of the game tonight and the Jays moving forward?
I don't like the Jays anywhere near what I did the last 2 years. You've just got some guys that don't have, Martin to Lewicki. Some of the guys just don't have enough left in the tank. And so that's part of the issue from a trade standpoint. Outside of Donaldson, you don't have that many pieces, that you could get that much for. So you pretty much have to stand pat. A little bit difficult tonight because I don't like Hap in this ballpark. If you're going to have a left-hander out there, you want to have a little more zip, than what he brings. Red Sox might be able to pull the ball to the monster, except the Red Sox haven't hit a lick since the All-Star break. So maybe Hap can hang in there, but that's just not a ballpark where I want to get behind him.
All right, Dave, so before we get you out of here, the NFL preseason rapidly approaching, starts in 16 days. We'll start talking football with you next week a little bit. I know you're going to start your preview soon and start writing about it. One thing that you might have to be writing about is Ezekiel Elliott getting suspended. Seems to be imminent right now. Adam Schefter's reporting the Cowboys are expecting it. And that Elliott's now expecting it, and that the league is ready to do it. The only question is how long. And it's funny, he was already under the microscope, and then he gets into a fight the other night, Dave. The kid's a ticking time bomb. Urban Meyer strikes again.
Yeah, there's kind of the funny thing about the Cowboys is you almost get a sense they wouldn't mind the NFL stepping in to help do their job for them. So instead of them having to police, literally, Elliott, let the NFL bring in the punishment so that the Cowboys don't have to be the bad guys in this instance. But you know what? With their offensive line, with their receivers, their quarterback, they can go a few games without Elliott and be just fine.
I agree. What's the difference? Elliott will run for 140 and McFadden will run for 118 or something. Like, I have confidence in that, too. It's always a pleasure, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Check out Dave's new Twitter handle. Vegas Point Blank. Check him out at sportsbookreview.com. Dennis Martinez joins us next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's get right down to business. We don't want to keep a man that they call El Presidente waiting. 52nd on the Major League Baseball all-times win list with 245 wins. Winningest Latin American-born pitcher ever still to this day. One of the rare people that's won 100-plus games in both the AL and the NL. Oh, yeah, happened to throw a perfect game versus the LA Dodgers on July the 28th, 1991. Inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in 2016. Dennis Martinez joins us on the Fantasy Sports Network. El Presidente, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Yes, fine. How about you guys doing? How you doing in Montreal?
Hey, we're fired up, man. We're fired up to talk to you, El Presidente. It's good to catch up with you. So we'll get right down to business. How did it feel to be inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, that was unbelievable. That was a beautiful thing. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. That was something that I really considered that it was the highlight in my career to be inducted into Canadian Hall of Fame, a place where I did a lot of good things in Canada. So I was, I was so overwhelming about that induction. It was really great. We had a great time. We played some golf. I had a chance to meet a lot of people there. There were some beautiful people, plus all the fans that I still remember that 1991. July 28th, which is soon, that we commemorate, that we pitched the perfect game.
What was it about Montreal, the city, the team, that made you feel so comfortable and you had such that epic run? Was it Felipe Alou? Was it Larry Bernarth? Was it the people? Was it the city? What was it about it that made you so comfortable there and to have that such great run that you did in Montreal?
Well, that was a combination of everything, because, you know, everything came up as my second opportunity in my career. It was something that I was coming after my drinking problem that I had. I started to try a new atmosphere, a new ambience, a new place, and different country. You know, I was like a reborn again, like a new kid on the block. So, plus the city, the people, the environment, the facility, the security, how people, you know, treat me there. They treat me as a king. I mean, our family was feel so comfortable. It was kind of laid-back country. I mean, you know, you name it. I mean, I have no word to express how great we felt. And the people in Montreal, they make us feel out there, man. It was unbelievable. The ballpark was beautiful. I mean, I enjoyed a pitch in the Olympic Stadium. I love to ride the metro. I started going into St. Catherine and, you know, and shop there. I mean, everything in Montreal, man, it was like something as a new world to me, and I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of good friends there. You know, the people, unbelievable. I mean, a lot of respect. I mean, I don't know, man. I have no words to express how I felt. And every time that I talk about Montreal, every time that I go there, I feel like I don't want to leave.
Yeah, a lot of love there for you, without a doubt. Still a lot of love. I wanted to ask you just quickly on this, because I'm somebody that, you know, I've partied hard over my years as well, Dennis, and I've had to make decisions along the way. What was it? Did you have sort of was it a rock bottom moment? Was it affecting your pitching? Was it more, you know, you didn't like the way you were acting off the field? What was it that made you look in the mirror and say, you know what? I can't drink like this anymore, like this. Because you see, guys drink a lot in baseball, man. So you're around other guys doing it all the time as well. And you guys still perform, you still play well, but maybe your lives aren't going so well, even though you're out there playing well.
Well, I mean, I was one of those guys, a lucky guy, that I didn't hit the bottom real hard like a lot of other people, but I was able to affect me and my performance in baseball, in the baseball field. I mean, I didn't have a bad time with my family. I didn't have anything with my teammate. Everything was just me, you know, that I was getting out of control with my drinking that allowed me to not be able to stop or recognize that I was going deep into my drinking problem. But, you know, fortunately that it happened in 1983, living in Baltimore, that I was had a flat tire and the cop stopped, you know, the cop kind of and rescued me there, and they, you know, smelled the drink, the alcohol that was in my mouth, and they figured out that I was, you know, I was not able to keep driving it, and they, you know, fortunately that they were able to help me out and say, hey, you know, I don't think you are capable to drive. It's better that somebody come and pick you up. You know, they did, in that regard, help me out, and plus don't let me drive anymore. So I was lucky that instead to hit the expressway and hit somebody or kill somebody, or even kill myself, you know, I will not talk about right now. So I was really in the situation where I had to do something about it. I didn't want it to. I didn't want to stop. The denial that we all go through, you know, that we don't want to recognize our problem, that we don't want to accept that we have a drinking problem, that we don't want to accept that, you know, that's the denial thing that is working in our head. But the key to me was when I faced my two kids, my oldest one, Dennis Jr. and Erica. They were 7 and 8 in that time. And I was able to wait for them when they came back from school and explain them that what I went through that evening before. And they told me, and I saw the hurt in their eyes. Dad, we know, our friend in school, they told us. I mean, I can imagine how bad or how miserable they felt that their friend was telling them, oh, your dad is drunker. Your dad, you know, got cup for the cup. I mean, he was so hurt in their eyes that that's when it wake me up. That's when it really touched me that I had to do something about it.
Is it? And thank you for sharing that, Dennis. You know, I think it's great. It's a great great reminder to people. Sometimes it takes one incident, or you know, to see the face of somebody that you love. Now, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Baltimore. Is it true that Ken Singleton gave you the nickname El Presidente?
Yes, he did. And as a matter of fact, there was a time where the Sandinista was fighting the Somoza government in Nicaragua, and we had a lot of turmoil in our country, and we went through all of that because they saw me, how I was suffering inside of me, thinking about my country, my family there, looking through the paper, looking through the news. They had a concern about me because, you know, they knew. They were hearing the news and about it, and that was, you know, worldwide.
And there wasn't as many Latin players then either, right? I mean, you're the only Nicaraguan, but at the time, but it must have been even more difficult. Now the clubhouse, you could have more guys that could relate to you, right? But back then, I imagine, you know, it was either white guys or black guys, right?
I agree. Yeah, that's what it was, man. I was the only guy. I was the only, and I was the first, Nicaraguan that I was able to break out into the big league. So, you know, it was a time where the Sandinistas overcome the government in Nicaragua, and they start going in the transition about the new government, and then all of a sudden, Singleton say, well, you might be the next president in Nicaragua. <Never know.
laughs> And that's how it sticks. That's awesome. You're up next, Dennis. All right, so before we run out of time, because time's flying by here, we had Dave Van Horn on the show a couple of weeks ago, and, of course, the famous call, El Presidente, El Perfecto. I want to ask you, how did you feel warming up that day? Because you know what? I was at the Fernando Valenzuela no-hitter, all right? When he no-hit the Cardinals, I think it was in 90, right around the same time, actually, 1990, I think. And I know there's a story. He said, I'm going to no-hit these guys tonight. And people are like, yeah, he's going to throw a no-hitter, and he did. How did you feel? Do you remember warming up and thinking, man, I feel really good today? Or do you think, I don't know, man, I don't really feel that good. I don't know how this is going to go. How did you feel that day?
Hey, man, I was not that good for me to say that I was going to throw no hitter, but I remember talking to Larry Bernard the Saturday evening after we got beat, after Gardner had pitched a no hitter through 10 innings, and and we lost Friday and Saturday. That I talked to him after we came out of the shower and said, don't worry about it, man, I take care of that tomorrow. So and Larry looked at me and said, I know you well. So that was it. We left, and then next day, you know, I came, and to me, it was something that, like I say, you know, when you start going in the right direction, when you make a decision to go one way, you got to stay in that path.
Yeah.
And to me, as a Catholic that I am, it was a Sunday. That was a decision that I had to make, to go to the stadium and not go to and don't go to Mass that day, or go to Mass and take a taxi and go to the stadium a little later. So I chose that path, and I'm glad that I did it, because
wow,
that was my thing that I do every Sunday. I always go to my first.
See, it's it. And if you would have been selfish and said, no, I got a game, I'm just going to go to the park, you probably don't throw that perfect game.
And I agree with that. And Vince Cooley was there, too, at the church, and he said to me after we were coming out, oh, I see you praying. Just get a little help. And I go, yes, you're right. So I took I get out in the corner. I was worried about how I'm going to get to the stadium. Taxi was right in the corner. I asked him if he was waiting for somebody, and said, no, you. So I jumped into the taxi. I went to the ballpark. I got in there, get ready. I didn't get that late because, you know, we usually, when I pitch that day, I don't like to go like everybody else early. So I got on time there with plenty of time, get ready. When I went to warming up, I knew I felt so good. I felt good. My pitch has always been good. My breaking ball, my changeup, my two-seam fastball, and my four-seam fastball. Everything was working real well. I didn't know how special it was going to be, but I knew it was going to be tough for them to beat me that day, even though I know I was going to face Mike Morgan. And prior to that, in Montreal, I beat Mike Morgan 1-0 in 10 innings. So that was something like a revenge time for them.
You
too,
knew.
For me. But also, I have to maintain that, you know, that I already beat this guy, I'm going to beat it again. So, and it happened. You know, it happened. It was a beautiful day, great weather, and that was the most beautiful and memorable day that we remember until today.
Listen, before we get you out of here, there's a code in baseball where nobody talks to a pitcher if he has a no-hitter or a perfect game going. Yet I imagine that must make it worse, like, because then it makes it different. It's not normal, because normally people will be talking to you, right? So you're sitting there, and at some point, are you thinking, man, I wish people would start talking to me a bit, because
You know, at what point was it, the seventh inning, the eighth inning? When did you start to think, oh man, this is real? Like, this is, you know, when did you realize, you know, this is a real thing?
Well, in the seventh inning, that's when we scored the 2-run against Mike Morgan, and that's our time when we hit the first hit also. So I look at the scoreboard and I go, holy moly, we only got one hit and they don't have nothing. So I went just with the no-hitter. I didn't even think about the perfect game then because I never knew anything about it. I knew that we were going back and forth so fast, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, for both sides. Mike Morgan was doing the same thing too, so the game was only how hour and 48 or 59 minutes, something like that. It was not even 2 hours. So I look at the scoreboard and I go, oh, my God, 2-0, one hitter, and 2-0. So let me see if I can try to last a little longer than this guy. So I got into a situation where I had the 3-2 to Eddie Murray, and I go, wait a minute, I don't care if I walk him, but I will not let him get any base hit. I will not put it into him to the fastball. So I threw a changeup, and he grabbed it out to the second base. That when I got a base hit in the eighth inning, I got out next to him at first base and said, man, why don't you give me some fastball, bro? You threw me a guy. You know better than that.
Yeah, so, your former teammate.
Around, but
your former teammate out. Trying to screw you over and bust it up. Hey, Eddie, nice guy, Eddie.
I know, but in those situations, you know, you're not a friend anymore.
I know.
That guy, and you want to get him out. So, but talking about being lonely at the dugout, that was my way, my approach, my game face. The day that I pitch, I sit right next to the cooler. I don't have to get up too much. When I came back from the field, I sit next to it, get my drink. Sit down there, wait for the last out, get a little cup of drink, and then get out running. That was my routine. Coming back I don't talk to nobody. I don't want nobody to get to me. I just stay focused on what I need to do. So it was nothing it was nothing different than in that game. But I knew that for some reason in the eighth, after I saw that, there were people talking in one corner. They looking at me in some different ways than they never did. So I go, look at this guy. I was laughing at the same time. Look at this guy. You know, it remind me when I see some other guys, they were doing the same thing too. So I go, oh, look at this guy. They think that I don't know, but I know. So, but I stay focused into the game. So it was enjoyable then, and I enjoyed it. So it was nothing that different than the usually normal day that I pitch.
Dennis, unfortunately, we got to get out of here. We're TV. We're getting the hook right now, the bullpen, the coach coming out. But I'd love to do this again. I really enjoyed the interview, and I know the Expo fans did as well. The anniversary's coming up, July the 28th. Thanks for your time, El Presidente.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And so we hope to see you soon. We're rooting to have a baseball team in Montreal again.
You're damn right. It's coming. It's coming. There's El Presidente, Dennis Martinez. We take a quick break. Mike Cardano joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decision on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Now we really do got to talk really fast because we got to get into as many topics as possible with Mike Cardano. After speaking with El Presidente Dennis Martinez, I want to tell you, go to rotoexperts.com. Use the promo code RAGE for 20% off the exclusive Edge package. Do you want to be a winner or do you want to be some loser watching other people win? If you want to be a winner, you go to rotoexperts.com right now. Use promo code RAGE as fantasy football fever is in the air. Mike Cardano's also in the air. What's up, Mike?
You just aced that, Gabe.
Not too bad. I like the authority. Hey, bang, bang.
Yeah, so I come in relieving Martinez. Did he just tell you that he pitched a no-no because he went to church? Is that what just happened there?
Yeah.
You know how many guys I played with that went to church and then got shelled?
All right, listen. At least he had a good point, though. He said he wasn't going to go. He was going to go right to the stadium. And he said, no, I better go to church because I always go to church. So he went to church. And this is a crazy story, but when I was in Las Vegas, Mike,
You know, my girlfriend used to like to go to church all the time on Sunday mornings, and she got NFL season and stuff, right? It kind of conflicted with me. So one day I go, I used to go there, but I went, and I don't know if I should tell this or not, but I actually placed my bets from the church bathroom.
No, 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 stop, stop. No.
All right?
You can't say that.
I went 6-0. I went 6-0. The next Sunday, I was all like, when are we going? Let's go to church, baby. Come on. She's like, no, no, we're not going today. I'm like, what do you mean we're not going? I said, we're gone. We're gone.
That's great.
And it's not, what do you mean? And I should note, church in Vegas, it's like the band Strikers playing. They had like rock shows and smoke. That's why I liked it. It was like rock and roll church, you know, the new stuff with the guys in jeans and tattoos and stuff.
Did you get all dressed up or no?
No. I wore my Expo jersey.
There you go.
I wasn't going to black church, Mike. I was going to rock church. So anyways, fantasy football fever in the air. Preseason starts in 16 days. I don't know, man. Seems like it's almost imminent that Elliott's going to get suspended. The only question is for how long right now, Mike, and how do you handle it? What's the consensus of everybody on the Fantasy Sports Network and all the hosts how to handle this?
There's no consensus. It's the topic of every show, really. You know what it is? Listen, what are you looking at? Maybe 2 games tops? Remember, Emmitt Smith was gone. It was a contract thing. It wasn't anything like this. What happened after he came back after 2 games? That worked out pretty well for the Cowboys, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, last year I was like, oh, no, I'm not on Le'Veon Bell. He's missing the 3 games, and he's got a bye week. I'm like, yeah. So what about McFadden, though? This is Le'Veon Bell all over again.
Yeah, but it's also
and then you get McFadden is sort of like D'Angelo Williams of last year.
Yeah, the pattern of what's going on here is more concerning than anything else. He just can't stay inside. And just, you know, they already had the investigation going, and now this. So that's really disconcerting. Yeah, if you're doing the handcuff thing, you go with McFadden. But I don't think there's a huge, huge opportunity there. This is going to be short-lived.
How about the irony of Elliott getting suspended maybe on the same day that O.J. gets released? I got to tell you, Mike, I know we bet the dinner. I'm starting to think they're going to keep him locked up.
Oh, you can't change your mind. I had...
No, I'm locked in. I'm locked in. I'm just standing. I think they're going to screw him. I don't think they're going to let him out. They should let him out. I mean, the guy, it's been 9 years, man. 10 years. He took a helmet that was his, all right? Let's get over this part. And he was found not guilty of the other stuff.
Yeah, well, listen, I my personal belief is that he'll go another 5 years to 75 and they'll let him out next parole hearing. But I don't know. If I had to really put some money on it, are they actually taking odds on this thing?
No, I haven't seen any yet. We'll see. They should be posted. We only got 30 seconds left. Mike, how about the fact that it's Ray Romano night tonight in Cincinnati, man? We got Robbie Ray against Romano. How cool is that?
A little juvenile, don't you think, Gabe?
Good. It's better than the Dickey and Wang matchup that I talked about earlier, which is the all-time best pitching matchup ever. You're the one telling me, Juvenile. I follow you on Twitter. What are you talking? Me. All right, your pick tonight. We hurry up. I like it, too. A lot of runs tonight.
Listen, the Philadelphia and Miami, it's going over. The starters have a combined ERA of 13. The bullpens aren't anything to speak of. You know, I published a stat on Twitter this week. Nationals lost 6 games in when they led after 8 innings, and they went out and they got their bullpen help now. The Dodgers and Astros, your Dodgers, by the way, are 111-0 after leading after 8 innings. So we'll see how that works out for
Kenley Jansen's a badass. Mike Cardano, Roto Experts. Don't forget, get the promo code RAGE. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from RotoExperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
All right, well, we have three plays of the day today. That's a good thing because we don't have a lot of time. Pittsburgh Pirates, I get the feeling the Brew Crew are starting to sober up a little bit right now. D-backs have been sliding, but in the matchup of everybody loves Raymond, Romano versus Ray, let's go with the D-backs and let's go Phillies, Marlins. Over the number, other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.